Welcome to the Mora Markings. Today's shiur is Makos Daf Yud Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. At the closing of the last Shiur, we discussed Tevel Shel Meiser Oni. That is a situation where one's produce had been tithed with the exception of the Meiser Oni tithe. That's the tithe, one-tenth of one's produce during the third and sixth year of the seven-year Shemitah cycle. The question is, or the issue is, does Meiser Oni create a state of Tevel that if one were to consume that produce, he would receive Malkos? Rav Yosef claims that this issue is a machlokes tanoim. Rav Yosef will be at the beginning of today's shiur at the very bottom of Tes Zayin Amud Beis. We've circled Rav Yosef's name for emphasis purposes, and we will contrast him with Abaye that appears on the third line from the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, whom we've also circled. Omar Rav Yosef, Kitanoi, the issue of Tevel Lemaiser Oni is a machlokes tanoim, according to Rav Yosef. And we have a Tanaic source, and you can see in our marking system we frame off the Tanaic sources to set them apart from the rest of the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Ein Tzorech Likrois is Hashem, Al Meiser Oni Shel Demai. A word about Demai. Demai is produce that is purchased from, or received from, people that are Amoratzim, people that are not quite learned. These are people that did not practice the halachas of tithing according to the letter of the law, even though they had removed the truma tithe from their produce. The other tithes, like the maisros, maiser rishon, maiser sheni, they were not necessarily careful about. When one would receive from the Amoretz Meiser Oni, according to Rebbe Elazar, there was no need to declare the Meiser Oni as separate from the rest of the produce, because according to Rebbe Elazar, the Amoretz would have already taken care of that. As opposed to Meiser Rishon, where the Amoretz thought that if he were to tithe that, he would experience some kind of loss, not so is the case when it comes to the Meiser Oni tithe. The Rashi explains all of the background necessary for understanding the details of this particular Gemara. He's found in the lower part of the page. Ein Tzorech Likros is Hashem. The Amrinon, the Yochanan Kohen Gadol Shel B'chol Gvul Yisrael. The Gemara in Sota says that the Yochanan, the high priest, sent and investigated in all of Israel. And he saw that they were suspect with regard to the tithing of all of the different tithes, with the exception of the basic truma given to the Kohen, because that carried with it a penalty of Miso B'dei Shemayim, and they were fear-struck about that. And hence they took care of that. Omer Lehem Yisrael, Yochanan said to the Jews, Bonai, Kishem Shatruma B'miso, Kacha Tevel B'miso. Just like Truma can create a untithed produce with Truma still in it, creates Truma, or Misa B'dei Shemayim, and not only that, but Truma being consumed by Zorim also is Misa B'dei Shemayim. That they understood. He informed them, Kacha Tevel B'miso, so to untithed produce. Omad v'tikein halokeach mi'amoretz. He then arose and established that one who acquires produce from an amoretz, yafrish kol amaisus u'ma'akvon li'atzmo, he is to separate them and keep them for himself. V'ochel Maaser Rishon, Sharmutu Lazorim, the tithe that would ordinarily be given to a Levi, since the issue concerning the Amayoritz was a matter of doubt. He would keep that for himself and eat it himself. Maaser Rishon, given to the Levi, unlike Truma, was something that is mutter for non-Kohanim. Maaser Sheni Ochlo B'Yerushalayim, the person who would tithe the Maaser Sheni would be expected to eat that in Yerushalayim. V'im Shnas Maaser Oni, he. If it were the third or sixth year, which is the Maaser Oni year, Nechleku Rabbi Lezer V'Chachomim V'Kom Rabbi Lezer D'lo Miboy Afrushi Misafek D'lo Tzorech Elo Afilu Kros Elov Es Hashem V'Lomar Maaser Oni Shel Kriza Eved Sono B'Droma Nami Lo Tzorech. According to Rabbi Lezer, the need to tie the Maaser Oni of stuff acquired from an Amoritz was unnecessary. Even a mere verbal declaration of its separation was unnecessary. Let's continue in the Gemara. V'chachomim omrim kurei es Hashem ve'inu tzorach lahafrish. A verbal declaration is necessary, but no need to actually separate it. Once one declares it nominally, that is sufficient. That's considered a sufficient tithing. So the Gemara wants to investigate this controversy between Rabbi Lozer and the Chachamim. Is my lav b'hok l'mifgim? What must be the point of difference between them? The more sovar vadai tovlo. It must be that the Chachamim, who do require a verbal declaration in the case of acquisition from an Amoretz, it must be that the vadai situation, in other words, where it is certain that the Maaser Oni was not tithed, it creates tevel. Therefore, in the uncertain situation, you need to have some kind of verbal declaration. Umor Sovar, Rabbi Eliezer, who said you don't need to do anything in the doubt situation, in the Amoret situation, it must be because he holds Vadai Eino Tovlo, that when it's Vadai untithed, the Maaser Oni is not of sufficient significance to create a Tevel situation. And as a result of that, when you're in a state of doubt, nothing needs to be done. Omar le Abaye, I hachi. If this is the interpretation of the Machlokes Tanoim, Ademefligi Vesfeko, instead of arguing about Demai, which is a suffix, a matter of doubt, Liflegu Bevadai, why not state the controversy concerning the original produce from which the Maaser Oni was not removed? And yet, the machlokis is not presented on the vadai, on the certain level. Elo, so rather, Abaye says, the kule almo, vadai tovlo. Everyone is of the opinion that the vadai, untithed Maaser Oni, will create tevel. And if that be the case, so then that which we taught originally, that Maaser, that tevel, Rav's din that was found at the bottom of Tes Zayin Mabez, that said Ochal Tevel Shel Maaser Oni Loke, that din would be according to everybody. That's why we've emphasized here the Dekule Alma expression with a dashed underline to bring out that Rav's original point would not be a subject of controversy. So what is the underlying point in this particular controversy? V'hocha b'hocha mifligi. Mor sovar lo nechshidu amayoretz al Maaser Oni Shel Demai. The opinion of Rebbe Lezer is that the Amoratzim are not suspect with regard to the Maaser Oni tithe. Why does he feel they're not suspect? Cave unto Mamonahu Afrushi Mifrish. Since it's a matter of financial concern only, they will be Mafrish it. The Rashi points out, Lo nechshedu de mamonahu ein bo isur achila ela gezel aniyim. The Amoratzim figure that there's no isur in eating. There's no prohibition in eating the tithe that belongs to the aniyim. It's on a isur level, rather on a gezel level. Ela gezel aniyim. It's simply a matter of theft. The ihu legezalim lo chayish. The Amoritz doesn't concern himself with that aspect. And Rashi goes on, afrushi mafrishle lafkuye tivle, to remove the label of tevel. He will tithe the Maaser Oni. Nehi de Maisa Rishon lo mafrish. Maisa Rishon, on the other hand, he doesn't separate at all because of a separate calculation that Rashi goes on to explain why he doesn't do that. But in the case of Maisa Oni, the Amoretz, in his way of thinking, is that I'll tithe it, I'll remove the Maisir Oni, that will erase the shame, the category of Tevel from it, and hence it will no longer be unkosher, so to speak. And as far as the fact that I'm over on Gezel, I'm in violation of Gezel by not giving it to the poor, that doesn't bother me so much. V'rabonon Safri, Kevon de Tricho Le Milso Lo Mafrish. And the Rabbonon, on the other hand, hold that the Amoretz feels that it's a trouble, it's a bother, and he doesn't want to be bothered, and therefore he won't be mafresh. And that's why the Chachomim hold that it's necessary to be korei shem in the case of Maiser Oni from of Demai, of stuff acquired from Amoratzim. Kamo Yochal min HaTevel. Before we go on, let's just go over the end of the Mishnah from where this quote is coming. We saw a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachomim on the in the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel, at the very beginning of the Perek. Let's just read those few lines of Mishnah just to get us into this piece of Gemara. Kama yochal min ha-tevel v'yechayev? How much quantity wise of tevel must one eat in order to be guilty of receiving lashes? Rabbi Shimon Omer kol shehu, any amount. V'chachomim omrim kezayas, they give a definite minimum amount, a kezayas, and a size of food. Omar lahen Rabbi Shimon, i'atem moedim li v'ochel nemola kol shehu shuchayev? Rabbi Shimon addressed l'chomim and say, wouldn't you agree with me that even even something less than a kezayas, a minuscular amount of that which is forbidden, could yield malchus, just like we know if one eats an ant, which is much, much smaller than a kezayas, and yet that would bear a penalty with it, and you would agree. Amrulo, so they responded, Meshehi kibriyosa, because it is an entire living entity. Amar lahen, so Rabbi Shimon responded, Afchito achas kibriyosa, a wheat kernel is also a complete entity. And likewise, just like you agree that an ant bears with it malchus, so too eating a grain of wheat that comes from Tevel should also bear malchus. Omar Rav Bevi, our Gemara continues. We've assigned a topic to this sugya. If one glances to the outside, one notices the term, the expression no say, a topic heading. 2 points, shiur achila shemachayev malchus, the quantity of food that generates a penalty of malchus when the food is forbidden, of course. And the second point that will be dealt with, it will be the point of a bria, of a complete living entity. So Amar Rav Bevi, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish, machloikes b'chita. There is a Tanea controversy surrounding the consumption of a chita of tevel, a complete wheat kernel. Avo b'kemach divrei kol kezayas. But when it comes to the consumption of flour, that's ground wheat flour that was untithed, everyone will agree, even Rabbi Shimon will agree, that it must be a kezayas before we can talk about imposing lashes. Rabbi Yirmiyah, Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish. We notice we have Rav Bevi and Rav Yirmiyah arguing as to what Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish says. Kemachlokes bezu, kach machlokes bezu. Just like there is a machlokes with regard to a chita, there would be also a machlokes concerning wheat. There is a Rashi that says, Kach machlokes bezu, tekosofa Rabbi Shimon, b'chol ho isurim kol shu lamakos. Concerning all forbidden foods, the amount for makos would be a kol shehu, a no minimum size amount. V'lo omru kezayas alinyan korban al shigas kores. The whole framework of dimensions, of quantities, in this case a kezayas, is said only with respect to consuming something that would, if done premeditated, would bear with it a kores penalty, and hence in the inadvertent consumption there would be a korban. So regarding the realm of bringing korbanos, which is a realm of food items that bemazed would result in kores, there we talk about a kezayas. V'alochal moshe misinai hi. Rashi, that's as far as Rashi is concerned. Turning back to the Gemara, Tanan, we have a Tanaic source. As you can see, there is a frame around this section. And from this, we want to determine the machlokis Reb Bevi versus Reb Yirmiyah, who is correct. So we have a source, Amar Lohen, Reb Shimon. E atem moedim li ba'ochel nemola kol shehu, shehu chayav. Would you not agree that even eating a complete an ant, which is a minimal size, yet results in lashes? Omru lo mipnei shi kibriyosa. So the rabbanon responded, yes, we agree with you in the case of the ant because it's a complete entity. Amar lahen, so Rabbi Shimon said, af chito achas kibriyosa. So to a complete wheat kernel, even though it's much smaller than a kezias, that too should result in a chiyuv malchus. The Gemara now wants to infer chita in. The example that was cited in the source was that of a chita, kemach lo. But Rabbi Shimon would never have cited a kol shehu of kemach as resulting in malchus. That shows that regarding chita is there machlokus, but regarding kemach, everyone would agree, just like Rav Bevi said. So this would be a proof for Rav Bevi. The Rav Bevi answers, L'divrayim ko'omar luhu. Rabbi Shimon was talking to the Rabbanon on their terms. L'didi afilu kemach nami. As far as I'm concerned, says Rabbi Shimon, even kemach kol shehu could result in a chiyuv malchus. And this is what Rav Yirmiyah maintained in his presentation. Elo l'didchu, but according to you, the Chachomim, Oduli Mihas, you should at least concede to me, the Chito Achas Kibriyosa, that a single wheat kernel is also a complete living entity. Verabonan, they who refuse to admit or to concede him in the Chito, they respond, Brias Neshoma Chashuva, a complete entity, a living organism that has in it a soul, so to speak, naming what we would call living creatures. That's choshuv, and that would generate malchus, even if it's a kol shehu, namely like a nemola, like an ant. Chita lo choshuv. However, a wheat grain, we don't classify as a living creature, and hence it doesn't have significance enough to generate malchus, even though one may eat a complete one who consumed. One may have consumed the complete wheat kernel of Tevel. Tanya Kavose de Rav Yirmiyah. We have a Tanaic source that would support Rav Yirmiyah's approach, that Rabbi Shimon holds that even Kemach Kol Shehu would result in Malchus. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Shehu Lamachos, Lomru Kezayas Elalinian Korban. Rabbi Shimon says, a Kol Shehu of whatever happens to be forbidden. It's unqualified. So this is in line with Rav Yirmiyah's approach to the machlokes. Reb Shimon is taking the opinion that of stringency, that even a kol shehu of forbidden food item, even if it's kemach, would result in malchus. Ha'oichel bikurim ad shelo koro aleihem. One who consumes the bikurim, these are what we sometimes translate as the first fruits. These are the first fruits that blossomed on a person's a farm, he would bring them as a gift to the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. So if one ate them before reading the special parsha, the parsha that we refer to as Mikra Bikurim, Arami Oved Ovi, that many of us are familiar with, if one eats the Bikurim before reading that parsha, there would be Malchus. And more examples of Malchus. Kotshe kotshim chutz lekloyim, korbanos that are of kotshe kotshim status outside the azora, it's outside their place of eating, would result in malchus. And likewise, kotshim kalim umaisusheni chutz lechoma, these items outside Yerushalayim, the wall of Jerusalem. Hashivras etzem bePesach haTohor, one who breaks the bones of a kosher korban Pesach, hareze loike arboyim, that also it warrants the receipt of 40 lashes. Avol Hamoisir b'tohor, one who is moser, leaves over the meat of a korban pesach that's tohor, and that didn't become tome. V'hashover b'tome, or one who breaks the bones of a tome korban pesach, eino loike arboyim. Hanoitil aim al habonim, one who meets up with a nest, with a bird, on its offspring, on the eggs, or on its little birds. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Haloke Veino Mishalach, one who takes the mother from that, in other words, the halacha is that before taking the eggs or the offspring, one is supposed to chase away the mother. But he didn't do that. He took the mother while the children were there. Or he took the mother instead of shooing her away. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Loke Veino Mishalach, he is to receive Malkus, and there is no tikkun for that. It doesn't help. Once he took the mother, it doesn't help to send her away later on. If you took the mother, which was the incorrect thing to do, you nevertheless can have a tikkun, do an asay, send her away, and spare yourself from the lashes. All negative precepts that have a positive precept that follows it, that serves to absolve the person from receiving malchus. The idea being that one is expected to perform the asay and thereby relieve himself from doing the malchus. Omar Rabba Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, Zu Divrei Rabbi Akiva Stimta. This unnamed Mishnah, Stimta means Sasum, unnamed. This unnamed Mishnah is according to Rabbi Akiva that holds that Kriya Ma'akevas, that the recitation of the special Bikurim Parsha is an essential part of the mitzvah. And without it having been done, so the items remain forbidden. In this case, the Bikurim remains forbidden. Avochachomim oimrim Bikurim Hanocho Ma'akevas, ben Kriya Ein Ma'akevas, ben. However, according to the Chachomim, with regard to Bikurim, the placing down of the basket of fruits next to the Mizbeach is an essential part of the mitzvah. However, the recitation of the Bikurim passage, Arami Oved Avi, is not an essential part. The Gemara asks, Valema, why not say, why didn't Rabbi Bechan Rabbi Yochanan say that Zu, this Mishnah, Divrei Rabbi Shimon Stimta, that it's a Stam Mishnah, means it's an unnamed Mishnah, in line with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, which we'll see later. Why does Rabbi Yochanan choose to label the Mishnah according to Rabbi Akiva? Ha Kamashma, this is what Rabbi Yochanan is informing us of. To Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon Sevira Lay, that Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Shimon, namely that Kriya is Ma'akev. After having cited Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara asks, "My Rabbi Shimon, where do we see the Rabbi Shimon's opinion stated?" At this point, we have a Tanaic source that continues till Omid Beis. You can see with the frame that the frame here is incomplete; it goes till the next Omid. Before we continue with the reading itself, let's take a look at the Nosei Mivneh note we have on the side, the topic and structural note. As we go along in the source, we're going to notice diamonded expressions. So the diamonds are mitzvos shechayovim aleihem malkos shenidrushu me'aposuk bedvarim yudbeis posuk yudzayin. A list of different mitzvos. As if you scan ahead by looking just at the diamonds, you'll see bikurim, Toidu Shlomim, Bechor, Chatas V'Osham, and on Amud Beis at the top you'll see Oilah. The Pasuk that is going to be darshaned is presented to you on the margins of this Gemara. You'll notice the Pasuk says, in Vorim Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Yud Zayin, Lo Sucha Lechol B'Sharecha, you cannot consume in your gates, in your own cities, Masar Degoncha, V'Tiroshcha V'Tzorecha, Uvachoros Bekorcha, Vetzonecha, Vachonidorecha, Shirtidor, Vinidvosecha, Uchumas Yodecha. Some of the expressions here may be obvious, but some of them are not. And the Gemara presents a brisa in which the different expressions will be darshaned. We will take careful note at this point that when the source, as the source unfolds, it darshans the source, it darshans the pasuk out of order. It doesn't start with the first point mentioned in the Pasuk and introduces it initially in the source. Desanya, let's see the source. Utrumas Yodecha, notice that expression comes from the end of the Pasuk. Elu Bikurim. That's a reference to Bikurim. Omar Rabbi Shimon, Ma Bo Zed Lelamdenu. What is this coming to teach us? Im La'ichlan Chutz L'choymo. If it's coming to teach us about a prohibition, about eating the Bikurim outside the walls of Yerushalayim, that I don't need this pasuk to teach me. Kal v'chomer mi ma'aser hakal. I could figure that out from the more lenient form of food, namely ma'aser sheni, which is kal, which is more lenient, and conclude as follows. Uma ma'aser hakal uichlon chutz l'chomer loike. Mind you, one who eats ma'aser sheni outside the walls of Yerushalayim, which is ma'aser sheni being more kal than Bikurim, and yet that would result in Malkus, Bikurim lo kol shekein. One who would eat Bikurim outside the walls of Yerushalayim, all the more so would be guilty of Malkus. Must be then that the reference to Bikurim in this pasuk is a reference to one who eats the Bikurim before the reading of the Parsha. That would result in Malkus, the premature consumption of the Bikurim. Where does this come in the pasuk? Right before the Trumas Yodach expression, toward the end of the pasuk, and this is a reference to Toida Ushlamim, two types of korbanos. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Ma Boaz Elulandenu. What is this coming to teach us? Im Laochlan Chutz L'Choymo. If it's trying to teach a prohibition of eating them outside the walls of Yerushalayim, I don't need the pasuk for that. Kal v'chomer mi ma'aser. I could figure that out through kal v'chomer reasoning from ma'aser sheni. Namely, if ma'aser sheni, which is kal, it's one is forbidden to eat outside the walls, then certainly the todo shlomim. Holo bo akosiv elo le'echo b'todo u'b'shlomim. Lifnei Zrika Shuloket. This pasuk is coming to teach a prohibition of eating the korban meat of the toda or the shlamim before the kohen does the sprinkling of the dam on the mizbeach. That the premature eating of the toda shlamim would result in malchus. Ubechoros ze habechor. Bechoros also appears in the pasuk. Smack in the middle of the pasuk, you see the word ubechoros. That's a reference to the firstborn male animals. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Ma Boaz Lelamdenu. What is this coming to teach us? Im Laochlan Chutz L'Choymo, Kal V'Chomer Mi Ma'aser. If you're trying to teach a prohibition of eating Bechor that's slaughtered outside the walls of Yerushalayim, that's obvious. That's learned from Ma'aser, Ma'aser Behema. Im Lifnei Zrika, if it's coming to teach me the prohibition of eating it before Zrika, Kal V'Chomer Mitoda Ushlamim. I could have figured that out from the more chomor, the more stringent types of korbanos, namely Toda Ushlamim. Ha'lo Ba'akos of Elo, Lo'ichlo Min HaBechor, Afilu Le'achar Zrika, Shehu Loke. This comes to teach about a Zar who eats from Bechor, even if it's after Zrika, that he would receive Malkus. Namely, even though Zrikas Adam was done to the Bechor sacrifice, nevertheless, since he's a non-Koyen, it would be forbidden for him, because the Bechor was something given to the Koyen. Bekorcha v'tzonecha, zu chatos v'osham. Amar Rabbi Shimon, ma boaz el lamdenu. Im lo'ichlan chutz l'choymo, kal v'chomer mi ma'aser. If this pasuk of Bekorcha v'tzonecha, the tzonecha is coming to restrict the consumption of chatas and osham. These are different types of sacrifices outside the walls of Yerushalayim. That's very obvious. That's a kal v'chomer from ma'aser. Im lifnei zrika, kal v'chomer mitoda shlamim. If it's a warning not to eat chatas and osham before zrika sadam, that I don't need this pasuk for. I could figure that out from toda shlamim. Im la'achar zrika, kal v'chomer b'bechor. And if it's coming to tell me about the prohibition of a czar eating chadas and osham after zrika, that too I could figure out on my own. This pasuk of Bekorcha Vitzonecha tells me that it's forbidden to consume chatas and osha meat, even though Zrikas Adam was done, but he's eating it outside the Azora. And one who would do that would get Malkas. Nidorecha, Zu Oila. This word, Nidorecha, was found in the latter half of the pasuk, and it comes to refer to the Korban Ola. Omer Rabbi Shimon, Ma Bo Ze Lelamdenu. Im lo'ichlon chutz l'choyma. If it's coming to teach about prohibition, about eating ola meat outside the walls, that I could figure out from Meiser on my own. We might want to point out that a korban ola was a type of korban that there was no part of it at all that was eaten. It was put completely on the mizbeach. The Gemara goes on trying to figure out what is the unique point of teaching Ola in this posuk. Im la'achar zrika, kavachomer mi bechor. Im chutz l'kloim, kavachomer mi chatas v'osham. All of these points could have been figured out without having written a posuk. Ha lo vo'a kosuv elo, la'oicha min ha'oilo, li'achar zrika afilu bifnim. Shehu loke. The chiddush here is that one who would eat from Ola meat in the Azora, even though Zrikas Adam was already done, he would get Malkus, as we said, because an Ola is something that's completely burnt. Omar Rava. Rava, in looking at the source and Reb Shimon's drushes that ran throughout the source, comments, Dialida ime, ki Reb Shimon telid. A woman who is going to give birth, if she gives birth, she should pray to have a child like Rabbi Shimon. Ve'ilo, lo teled. And if not, then she ought not give birth. Ve'af agav de'is lehu pircha. Even though the comments made along the source could be refuted one by one. And at this point in the Gemara, you notice we've underlined the expression umai chumra, and if your eye scans down the page, you can see this expression underlined again and again. If you glance at the side, we have a note, say, a topic heading, Rava mevi pirchos l'chol halimut shor Rabbi Shimon shebebraisa b'amad aleph. We will undo each one of the teachings that Rabbi Shimon provided in the Tanaic source. At the end of this string of refutations, the Gemara then is going to ask, so what was the reason for Rava sharing this great compliment concerning Rabbi Shimon? And the Gemara will provide a brief answer to that. So as we turn to the upper part of our Omid, let's see the Pirchas, the undoings of the logic that we saw in Omid Aleph. My chumra de bikurim mimaiser. We said that one could have determined information about bikurim from maiser, and hence I wouldn't need a pasuk for that particular point. So, and that was figured as a chumra, as by virtue of the fact that bikurim is more stringent than maiser. So, if we glance back momentarily at the original source, we saw the Rabbi Shimon pointing out that if Trumas Yodecha is telling me about Bikurim regarding the eating of the Bikurim outside the Choma, outside the walls of Yerushalayim, that I wouldn't need the Pasuk for that, because that could be derived as a Kavachomer from Meiser. Namely, Meiser, which is more lenient than Bikurim, and yet it has this restriction of Chutz L'Choma. So Bikurim, which is more stringent, then all the more. We just mentioned that Bikurim, which was more stringent. So let's see what we meant by that. My chumra de Bikurim mi Meiser. What's the stringency that Bikurim has over Meiser? Shekain asurim lezorim. The Bikurim, unlike the Meiser Sheni, the Bikurim is forbidden to non-Koyhanim. Adaraba, Meiser chumra. I can argue to the contrary, that Meiser is more restrictive. Shekain asur le'oinein. Unlike Meiser, the Bikurim is forbidden to an Onain. An Onain is a person who just lost a close relative, and that very same day of the loss, before he buried the close relative, he is in a state of Aninus. Umay chumra de toida ushlamim. Mi meiser, what is the supposed chumra of toda and shlamim over meiser? Shekein teunin matan domim veimurim legabi mizbeach. Thus, unlike meiser sheni, which is fruit, which is produce, the toda shlamim are animals, and I take their blood and sprinkle it on the mizbeach. And the same thing with regard to their innards. That's matan dom veimurim. The innards of these animals are put on the mizbeach. Adarabba, meiser chomer shekein teunin kesef tzura. So if you thought that tod and shlamim are more chomer than meiser because of their matan dom veimurim, I will argue to the contrary, that meiser is more chomer, in that for its redemption you have a restricted type of means of redeeming it, and that's kesef tzura, that's minted coins. And that's a restriction that exists by meiser and not by shlamim, and not by todo shlamim. Umay chumra de bechor mitodu shlamim. In the source we maintain that one could learn, derive bechor from todo shlamim. Must be because Bechor has some kind of stringency over Todo Shlamim. What is that? Sheken kedushaso meirechem, because it has sanctity before it's even born. Adarabba, Todo Shlamim chamurim, shein tu'unin smicho nesachem tenufas chozer v'shok. One may argue that Todo and Shlamim are more chamur than Bechor, in that they have the need for the smicha, placing of hands on the korban, and nesachim, accompanying korbanos with the korban that's made of wine and flour. Utnufas chozer v'shok, the korban shlomim has a procedure done called tenufa that you find by the shlomim and you don't find by the bechor. That's the waving of the chozer v'shok, these two parts of the animal. Umay chumra de chatas v'oshem b'bechor. What is the greater stringency that bechor, that chatas and oshem have over bechor? Shekein kodshei kodshim, because they are of the highest sanctity level, namely the kodshei kodshim level, as opposed to the bechor, which is classified as kodshim kalim. Adarabba, but I can argue to the contrary. Bechor chomor shekein kedushaso meirechem. It has an element or a feature that the others don't have, and in that the Bechor is sanctified already before its birth. Umay chumra de ola mechatas v'osham. What's the chumra by ola over chatas and osham, and as was argued in the source on Omer Aleph? Well, the chumra is shekein kolil. It's completely burnt in the fire. Adarabba, I can argue to just the opposite. Chatas v'olshem chamiri shekein mechapri. Chatas and olshem have a stringency or have a feature that the ola doesn't have, in that they are official providers of atonement. V'kulhu chamiri me'ola, and all the rest are more chomor than ola. De'is behu shtei achilois. Other korbonas have two consumers, namely man and the mizbeach. And that's not the case by an ola. The ola is completely burned, so it's consumed only by shamayim, so to speak, and not by man. Ela, rather, in light of everything that we've said till now, that all of the limudim of Rabbi Shimon were rejected, so my dilida ime k'Rabbi Shimon, why was it that Rava said that if one's mother is to give birth, it should, the child should be like Rabbi Shimon? We see that Rabbi Shimon's teaching here was so severely weakened. The Gemara answers, the lamai de svirole ledidei. The genius of Rabbi Shimon in his drasha was that according to his particular opinions, that A was more chomer than B, etc., he held that as we saw in the source, that certain things were viewed by Rabbi Shimon as more chomer than something else. According to his approach, in order to state the limud as he does, misaris le lekro v'dorish le, he had to darshan the pasuk out of order. That's misaris le, is to jump around and explain it out of order. The Gemara asks, v'chi mazhirin min adin. In this entire source, we saw the expression kal v'chomer le. that if it's coming to teach me something, I don't need a pasuk. I could figure out the Kal Vachomer as follows, as whatever was said in the source. That type of reasoning is called Oinshin Min Adin, figuring out an Oinish. In this case, we're talking about giving lashings for these different offenses through arriving at their prohibition through Kal Vachomer reasoning. That is considered out of bounds, and that's what the Gemara is asking right now. V'chi mazhirin min adin, does the Torah allow for establishing an azhara through Kal Vachomer logic? Ha'afilu madomar oinshin min adin, even according to the madomar that says that you are allowed to determine punishment through Kal Vachomer logic, ein mazhirin min adin. However, we don't develop lavin, we don't develop Torah prohibitions irregardless of the punishment. Torah prohibitions that we call azhara, we don't develop azharas through Kal Vachomer logic. So the Gemara answers Isura li'alma. When we mentioned the points in the Braisa, and we said, well, Kal Vachomer for this and Kal Vachomer for that, was simply to say that this particular point is forbidden, but having no legal ramifications as far as Malkus were concerned. The Gemara asks, V'ha'amar Rova, Zor she'ochal min ha'oila lefnei zrika, chutz l'choma, a non-Kohen who ate Ola meat before Zrika Sadam, before the blood sprinkling, outside the walls, the Rebbe Shimon loike chomesh. According to Rebbe Shimon, he gets five sets of lashes. So we see that Rebbe Shimon wasn't talking only on an Isur level, a prohibition level, but he was talking on a punishment level. So the Gemara rejects this and says, Chamisha Isurin Havu, that there are five punishments. The Gemara actually says, Chamisha Isurin Havu, there are five, not malkos, not lashings, but five restrictions. The Gemara asks, V'ha'anan t'nan elu hein halokin. And Rashi points out at the bottom that part of the list that was found in the opening Mishnah, the Kotoni, Rashi says, Bikurim, following the title of Elu Hein Alokin, these are the ones that get lashed. The Mishnah says, Bikurim, V'ocho Kotche Kotchem Chutz L'Kloim, and also one who consumes the high-level sacrifice meat outside the Kloim, that they do get lashed, so that these things that are mentioned in the source are not just to teach prohibition, but they're there to teach me that there is lashing also, an actual punishment. The question then comes up, but we said Ein Oinshin Min Adin, you can't use Kal Vachomer logic to determine an actual punishment. So how is it that we know that these things are actual, that receive actual lashing, as Rashi pointed out? Ela Kro Yaseirahu, there is a pasuk that has in it extraneous words, and the reason for its presence is in order to teach me all of these points. And where do we see this extraneous pasuk? So we're focused right now on Dvorim Yud Beis, Psukim Vav and Zayin. The Gemara continues, Michti, Ksiv Vehevesa Sham V'achalto Lefnei Hashem Elokecha V'makom. And we've included the entire pasuk on the side of the Gemara. V'havesem shama losechem zivchechem v'esmaser sechem v'es trumas yedchem v'nidrechem v'nivesechem v'v'choris b'karchem v'tzonechem. In that pasuk, you see all of the different items enumerated. So as our Gemara continues, we reread the top line, Elakro Yaseirahu, in order to determine that there's an actual punishment for the different offenses that were mentioned in the Braisa on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, it's a function of having an extra posuk and not merely relying on Kal Vachomer logic. Michtik Siv, it says in the posuk, and we read it already, Vehevesem, Shama, Veochalta, etc., Lichtov Rachmona, Lo suchal la'ochlam. It would be sufficient for the Torah to write a posuk in a brief fashion. Lo suchal la'ochlam. Mehader meforish behu rachmana lomali. Why is it that in posuk Yud Zayin does the Gemara go over all of these things again? And that is a reference to Devarim, Perek Yud Zayin, pasuk, perek yud beis, pasuk yud zayin. This is a pasuk that we actually included in our Gemara's on top, yud zayin amal aleph. So why is pasuk yud zayin present with all of its repeat list of details? Ela lechude lehu lavi lechol chad v'chad. It is there to isolate or individualize a lav for each one of the items and what negative action is done to them, as we saw in the Brisa. So, at the end of all of this, if one were to ask, how is it that you can conclude punishments, lashings, through Kal V'chomer logic, as is what seemed to be taking place in the Brisa on Yud, Zayin, Amud Aleph, the answer is that those offenses that are listed there are alluded to in what we call a Kro Yisera, or an extra posuk, that appears in Dvarim, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Zayin. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.